Hi, Charlie. What's on your mind, sir?
I have a question about the interactions of niacinamide and also resveratrol. If a person's taking Eliquis for a blood thinner and, you know, the heart deal, and the other one is Symbicort, and I'm not sure if you know Symbicort's comprised of budesonide, 160 micrograms, and then a formoterol fumarate dihydrate,
0.5
micrograms. That's an inhaler for COPD.
Mm-hmm. And isn't there some sort of a steroid in there, sir? Did you mention that?
A steroid?
Yes, a prednisone, prednisolone, or something that is steroidal, some cortisol takeoff, in other words. Because you did say Symbicort, and that sort of sounds like a cortisol takeoff.
Right, well, there probably is some type of a steroid in there.
Yeah, well, reason I brought that up right away is that continuing to inhale steroids is not at all a good idea for the long run. In emergencies, fine, it will cover things up and make them better. And people feel better. And sometimes we need stuff like that in emergencies. But inhaling it over a long period of time, oh my goodness, you can look up the adverse effects. I don't even have to look them up.
Right.
They include osteoporosis, cataract, all kinds of stuff you don't want to get into. So that's one of the things that I would really try to get rid of if I could and replace with something else. Now, you're using this for what again? Because it's usually used for COPD or asthma and stuff like that.
Right. That's exactly what it's being used for. That's why I can't really say she could get rid of it.
Wait. Is it being used for the COPD or the asthma, sir?
COPD.
COPD. And it's a lady, and how old is she?
She's 78.
Okay, sir. There are a couple of researchers who have just flat out proven the following. Now, they happen to be at the Lung Research Institute at Georgetown University, if you ever want to look them up. And their names are, it's a married couple, and they share the same last name. Their names are M-A-S-S-A-R-O, Massaro. All right, what they have proven beyond a shadow of a doubt is that women's lungs are estrogen-dependent, and that is, I did emphasize that, and that is why for everyone man who's never smoked and gets COPD, there are 6 or 7 ladies who have never smoked and get COPD. Once we start smoking, it's another problem. But even so, women are much more susceptible to COPD. And one of the biggest things that can help a woman's lungs happens to be good old bioidentical hormone replacement done by somebody who knows what they're doing with it. Now, I will shut up in a moment or two, maybe in a minute or two, but I have to say that even at age 70, it can help. Hey, and there's studies out there with lung biopsies. Now, they did these on experimental animals, not on the people. But older animals with animal COPD, and they give them estrogen, which is the same in most animals as human. It isn't in horses, but in most animals. And what do you know? They go back and biopsy their lungs in a couple, 3 months, and they look like young lungs instead of old lungs. I am not kidding, sir. So that is a big deal for women's lungs. The doctors, Massaro, have proven that. The other researchers did the biopsies and showing that it works. And can a 78-year-old woman use it if she hasn't before? Yes, she can, but it must be done by a practitioner who knows what they're doing, because for a long time it was thought, oh, gee, if you've been without estrogen ever since menopause, it's never going to work for you, especially in the brain effects, but elsewhere in the body too. And then somebody came up with a patent medicine that, if taken before the estrogen, would help it to work at any age. But funny thing, you don't have to use that patent medicine because there's natural things that do the same darn thing. So I'll shut up now. But for women with COPD, estrogen is one consideration. That's the only, not the only one, but it's the strongest one.
I see. And something like a bioidentical hormone test, what is something like that running? And can you come to your clinic and have one of those done?
Well, sir, at 78, we don't do the test to start with, because if a woman's not been using any hormones since menopause, she's going to be so low you can't find them. So why pay to learn that? So what we do instead is we start with a conservative dose, and all the doctors at the clinic have enough experience to know what a good conservative dose is, and then after that's been used for a little while, then we do a test to make sure that that is not only not too much, which it usually isn't because it's a conservative dose, but also to see if it's up into the helpful range. And what we're shooting for there is we're shooting for the amount that a younger, and I did not say young, I said a younger woman would have, perhaps in her decade before menopause, something like that.
Sure. So my original question, in the meantime, this niacinamide sounds like it's a miracle stuff. Would it hurt her to be taking some niacinamide or resveratrol?
Neither one, sir, and they wouldn't mess with the patent medicines either because they're things that are found in our food, and we're not going to stop eating just because we're taking patent medicines. Now, the one thing to watch out for niacinamide, and it's the only thing I've ever seen adverse, and it's in less than 5% of the people who use it, probably around 2%, and that is if we use more niacinamide, and I'm not talking about niacin, that's a cousin molecule, but it's a lot more, active all around the body to cause problems than niacinamide is. Anyway, if we're using that steadily and we start getting a low-grade nausea, that's our liver's telling us, I can't process all that much. And if we just quit and then come back at a lower dose, we're fine. But I did run into one engineer who wanted to prove it to himself, and that's what engineers do, is prove stuff. So he started to get low-grade nausea, and he didn't quit. And guess what? In 3 weeks, he was throwing up. So he proved to himself that he should have quit and cut the lower dose.
So what would you suggest maybe as a starter with niacinamide? I've heard you mention like 1,500 milligram twice a day.
Those capsules, I'm sorry, those tablets are way too big for most 70-year-old ladies to swallow, sir. So the 1,000 milligrams are usually tolerable by women of any age, and that would be the place to start.
And that's time release?
No, they don't make a time release in 1,000 milligram yet. I wish they did, but since they don't, as Dr. Kaufman said, the lower doses have to be used more often. So it's usually 1,000 milligrams three times a day. And just to be super cautious, check with your doctor, skilled and knowledgeable in natural medicine. One other thing, sir, here before we go to the break, and that is if she is using that Symbicort, one of the biggest things that puts pressure on is vitamin A in the body. And anybody who's using any kind of cort, anything that has cortisol in it, should be using a reasonable dose of vitamin A. Some surgeons proved long ago that people who did that and then had surgery would heal a lot better than people who also were using the same sort of cortisol preparations and didn't take vitamin A. They didn't heal near as well.
Sure. So like 50,000 micrograms a couple times a day?
Once a day. Those are international units, as you know. And once a day is usually enough to offset what the cortisol is doing to us. And the second thing, sir, is that cortisol preparations induce excretion of zinc quite nicely, which is one of the reasons that women and men who are using those cortisol preparations get more osteoporosis.
I see. And so how about the resveratrol? What do you think about that, using that?
It doesn't interfere with any of the patent medicines you've mentioned, sir, and it does fit in with all the other nutrients. Not a problem.
So about a dose of that, what would you say?
Oh, okay. With anything, we do have the small possibility of an allergic reaction, don't we? I mean, anybody can be allergic to anything, even if it's rare. So I always say start with the smallest available dose, which resveratrol is around 500 and milligrams, that is. And if that's okay and doesn't seem to bother us any, no allergic reaction, and I don't mean breaking out in hives. We can have all kinds of weird allergic reactions. I just don't feel good as one of them. Anyway, start there, and then if possible, go up to a gram and then possibly talk to a doctor before going anymore.
That's per day?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much, doctor.
Well, thank you for calling, sir. And now it's time for our break here.